Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakening to Miracles. I'm your host, Sherry Lane, and I thank you for being here today. Whether you're here live on Tuesday, December 9th, or you're listening in the archives, thank you for being here. And I hope you'll get some good vibes and good energy from listening to this show. Today's show topic is Don't Let the Holidays Leave You Bankrupt, Financially or Spiritually. So we're going to get into that topic here in a bit. I kind of anticipate that this show will be a little shorter than they usually are because we're all busy this time of year, and that's part of what we're going to be discussing. But the call-in line, if you would like to call in to either comment on the topic or to call in for the on-air intuitive readings with messages from angels and spirit, then the number is 347-633-9823. And if you haven't listened before, the way that those readings work is they're very quick. I'm usually able to get images and feelings and zero in very quickly onto your best steps now in your spiritual journey. So I always say to people, I'm not a fortune teller. I'm zeroing in on guidance for you for your best steps now. When you follow those best steps now, it does shift your fortune in the future. When you follow those steps, you shift your path, you shift your way, you shift what you attract to you. It can have an effect on what you're manifesting and creating, but the purpose is to guide you, to empower yourself and take your best steps now on your spiritual journey, which then affects everything in your life. So if you're concerned about job or career or your love life or all those things, the spiritual guidance is the way to get there. It doesn't matter what the problem is. When you take your best steps now on your spiritual journey, you'll begin to see the path out, or you'll begin to see the things that aren't serving you in manifesting what you wish to or toward bringing you toward your true purpose in this world. And for each of us, the true purpose at its root is to bring love into this world and to basically to bring heaven to earth, which sounds impossible sometimes, but that's why we're here, to be able to realize that in this form. But how we each get there is dependent upon us and I guess sort of like our assignment or what we've volunteered for as our part in it. So the more we can zero in on that step by step and grow into that role, then we shift everything in our own lives and in the world around us. And boy, lots of the things that are happening in this world right now are very unsettling. There's a lot of pain coming up. It's coming up in our individual lives, revisiting things. You may be having dreams about the past. Those things are coming up. Well, when you look at the world at large and some of the unrest and some of the angst and the battles that are going on right now, it's also bringing it up. But when it brings it up, we can cleanse it. We can heal it. But the only way we can heal it is with love and compassion in every direction, not just in one direction, but in every direction. And so that's our challenge right now. But when we step into what our greater spiritual path is, then we're able to rise to that, and we help lift up these pains and these burdens to be released instead of to be held and revisited over and over and over and over in pain. So you can be the part, even if you think, what can I do? I'm just a little person sitting here in my little house and I don't have any power in the world. That's just not true. It's just not true. You have to feel your power from within, because it comes from above. It comes from God, or whatever you want to call the higher power. And you always, when you're ready, have the help of angels and spirit and Jesus or Buddha, whoever you might learn from. Sometimes it will be spirits that have shared this earthly path with you, crossed over loved ones. You know, last week's show, I just had this spontaneous reading before there was even a caller for it, and it was very cool. It was from an aunt, someone's aunt, and so I got a name, and we kind of just went from there. She called in. She recognized that it was for her and called in, and the lessons in that message for her were also lessons for all of us. So when you listen, if someone calls in or something's being said that you think, oh, well, that's for someone else, no, the lessons can be for all of us, and most times they are for lots of us at least, if not all of us. So if you're not familiar with the show or with me and what I do, I'll give you a couple different ways to connect with me. I do feel like my path is to help people recognize their best steps now on their spiritual journey. Sometimes there's some hand-holding, but it's more about empowering you to then find your own path and your own purpose. So I have several ways that I connect and share. One, the most central way is on Facebook. I have a fan page called Seeing Miracles Every Day. And on that page, we go through the ideas of A Course in Miracles and those kind of thoughts. And then that's also interspersed with other positive spiritual thought and ideas and ways to keep us in that spiritual light, which is where our power is. So, you know, each of us goes through on a daily basis so many things that drag us away from the light and where our power is, and almost makes things seem futile. So when we get into being committed to holding on to the brighter ideas, the light within and the light that can come through us, we have to remind ourselves, because everything else or so many things in the world are trying to pull us in the opposite direction. So to help us find that balance, we sometimes have to repeat and remind ourselves over and over and over, because so many of the images and what we hear in the world are the opposite. And if we're going to step into a new way of thinking, we have to be deliberate about it sometimes. And we have to be willing also to stop and breathe and connect on a deeper level. And I'll tell you some ways later on that you can do that, some things that are in the archives. But I do want to get to the topic here. The holidays, it can be a time of joy. It can be a time of stress. It can really, really be a time of revisiting old wounds, because so many times we're either in positions where you're shoved back into, say, family situations, and maybe there's some unhealed pain there. Maybe there's lots of it. Maybe there's ancestral pain that you can't even put your finger on. but that has lingered and lingered in your DNA, in the DNA of your relatives. And so it can bring up this sort of obligation to be in that environment, and a lot of times that can derail us on our spiritual paths, on this path of, no, I'm going to see something different. I'm going to let go of the wounds and the hurt, and I'm going to transcend them. Well, when you're put back in physical situations where you go back to the wounds, whether they're brought up by somebody, whether they're triggered by somebody, however it is, you're in that environment where sometimes you have to protect. And so I want to give you some ways today to step back and be able to, in a loving way, protect and step out of it and decide what areas you need to maybe step back from during the, you know, instead of just assuming it's Christmas, so I have to go do this, this, and this with people that really make me anxious or bring up old wounds, then to have a plan of how you're going to deal with it in, from your heart and from your soul and from guidance from above can make all the difference so that you're not put on the spot. Now, the other side of the discussion is the financial part of the holidays. It's all about gift giving and decorating and how you look at the Christmas party, and it can get that way very easily. And, you know, so many times I hear from people that they really want to be more on their spiritual path, but right now they have to worry about the money or paying the bills. And I get that. I've been there many times. I've been there in these last few years where I've expanded the spiritual path, and it's tough sometimes. It's tough to balance. But the holidays can set you back in that way without you even realizing it. Just assumptions you make about the things you need to do or the gifts you need to give or how expensive they need to be or what will it be like if I don't give as big a gift as this other person. And a real trap. And from a worldly standpoint, it's sort of, I don't know, designed that way. I don't know if designed is a fair word, but you know, marketing wants you to buy. Why? Because people make money off of it. Christmas is a time, or any holidays, Hanukkah, Christmas, just the whole season is very much led by marketing these days. And so that just begins to heap up all the expectations. So how do you keep, we'll discuss the financial part first. How do you keep the holidays from putting you under greater financial stress that then takes you time to dig out of, that then leaves you less time to relax and nurture and just feel calm and peace? How do you do it? Well, first thing is just don't do it. Just step out of that. Just declare that you are stepping out of it being all about material gifts, whatever. If you have felt that pressure in the past and you're in a precarious situation financially and you're feeling that pressure, sometimes just the conversation is enough to make it okay. You know, if you're in a circle where gifts are usually exchanged, just say, you know, I would like to make Christmas not about material things this year or the holidays. I would like to make this season not about material things. I would really like to make it a spiritual place for me. And you can suggest, let's not exchange gifts. Let's do something fun together. Let's sit and laugh. Let's have a cup of coffee. Let's go to a movie, you know. And if you don't want to spend the money on the movie, you can always come up with something that's, let's share a meal together. If this is someone that you really would like to have an exchange with because you love and you have a common, an uplifting situation with, then suggest that it be something not about stuff. You'd be surprised how many people are open to that and even longing for it. And it can make a huge difference in how you navigate the holidays. You can do it with family. You can say, you know, I really don't want to have a holiday that's about buying things and that gets everybody stressed because you don't know what to give. You don't know what the person really wants or needs. Most of us really don't need much more than we already have. Most of us could probably be served on an energetic and spiritual level by getting rid of a lot of what we have, clutter and just excess. So make that suggestion. Now, I can kind of hear it now running through some people's minds. Oh, well, too late. I've already bought these presents. Well, you can take them back. You know, most stores have that policy. And if you have already bought them and you can't take them back, or you've, well, you can say, you know, I already have this present, but I want to stop this now. You don't need to buy me anything. This is just, I'm giving you this gift not because it's the holidays. Go ahead and start that trend and that pattern of, no, let's sit down and enjoy each other. Let's do something from the heart. Let's make gifts for each other. Let's make cards for each other. Let's write a letter that says what you mean to me or how much I appreciate you. Just think how much more that can touch somebody. Just think how much more it would touch you than getting some trinket that you don't really need. So make the suggestions. Make the suggestions. Keep it simple. Don't pretend you don't have the power and you're forced to whip out your wallet or your credit card. Don't pretend, because you do have a choice. This is one of those areas where we get in this rut, or we get on this treadmill and we convince ourselves that we don't have any choice, that's just the way it is, or we'll look bad, or people will think bad of us. If we have an honest dialogue about it and let go of our ego about it, then we can change it and we can give relief to ourselves and give relief to others. Now, my family and I are doing, not my extended family, we have stopped doing the gift exchange because so many times, like I said, it's something that somebody doesn't want or need, and everybody's just spending money just to have something to wrap up and give. But with my smaller family, my sons and my daughter-in-law, last year we said, let's not do presents, and we spent time. We did go away to the beach, and that was kind of our present to each other. And this year, we're not going away like that, but we decided to make it fun that we would all give a second-hand or a handmade gift to each other. And we put the price limit, the max of $25, so that it's kept very compact. And, you know, like I said, if you can't find something secondhand, you can make it. You can buy something secondhand and put your own touch on it. You can. So our shopping consists of yard sales and Craigslist and consignment stores and thrift stores. And it's really fun. It's really meaningful because you get this treasure hunt, but you also get to use your imagination about, okay, well, that table, that side table, I can then paint it. I can give it new life. I can recycle it. And it's fun. Can't find anything that way or that you think might be useful or meaningful to the other person, and you can make something, whether it be your own art, original art, or baking something, or so it's kind of fun. That's something you can do too, to still have the joy of giving, because there is joy in buying something for someone that you truly do love and you think that might be useful to them or meaningful to very people very close to you. So that's another idea to keep it simple. Now, I know when you have children, it can be a little different because, you know, children and Christmas and Santa Claus and what other children are getting. And but, you know, I know from raising my own kids that, you know, sometimes it gets to be overkill. Sometimes it's like a machine that just takes over, and that kids are also often happy with less. And I never really let the holidays get too out of hand with my kids, even though they always had lovely Christmas times. And so you can put some breaks on that too. And also with children, we may think of them as they just look at the list of the toy store and what all they want. Children absolutely love the meaningful time. You know, it can be a day or a week of we're going to watch a movie together. You know, rent a movie. We're going to pop popcorn. We're going to make cookies together. We're going to draw cards for people we love and keep it very simple. Kids respond so well to that. They love that. And it doesn't matter if you have a designer tree or those things don't really matter. Kids can find joy in the simple things even better than the elaborate. So don't kid yourself or get pulled into the marketing that way either, that the kids have to have, you know, all this technology and expensive gifts. And they love, love, love the simple things. So give them time. It will bless them more than any other stuff could, and you'll also be blessed by that. So we've covered some of the financial part of it. And just think, I just want you to sit here and think about if you've had stress before from this holiday buying frenzy and the need to buy, and then you're left, you know, January 2nd with, oh no, now I've got bills to pay. Now I have to pay for it. If you've ever had that kind of situation, or you felt like you're going to be in some financial strain from the holidays, think of how much more you'll, one, enjoy the holidays, but then come January 2nd, how much freer you'll be. You'll already be ahead of the game when you're free of that stress and burdens. You know, people talk about, well, when I get out from under this, then I really want to be more spiritual. Think of how much ahead you'll be when you have eliminated that somewhat self-imposed stress. When you've added to your stress, then it's like you've taken one step forward, two steps backward. And think how much that impacts your spiritual and energetic existence. Big time. Big time. You know, sometimes we're in situations financial that, you know, to some extent we can't really control in the moment. We can work toward getting out of it. We can work toward there being a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, sometimes the last few years, you know, it's been economy and that's been a struggle, but there are blessings in that too, because one, we get leaner and we're not carrying that baggage, but the other blessings in that is that when we get through on the other side, particularly if we've made the conscious choices to do it from a spiritual standpoint, and also our here and now choices like financial, when we make it through, we realize how strong we really are. But on the spiritual side, if you're adding on to the obstacles that the world gives us, like the constant barrage with negative, if you're adding to that with some of your other choices, like the financial, then you're just setting yourself back spiritually. One step forward, two steps back. Don't do that to yourself. It's just not worth it. You'll be sitting around in strain. Now, okay, let's detach a moment from the financial part, and let's go to the energy part and how our surroundings affect our energy, drain us. Like I said earlier, the holidays can bring on the emotional baggage, can bring it to the surface, and when it comes to the surface, we can either lash out at it or we can find a way to lift it up and release it, let it go. We can find a way to touch our own power and heal it through compassion in how we do it, but also compassion for ourselves, and also that willingness to set a boundary and draw a line. You know, one of my friends sent me something a couple days ago that I can't remember exactly what it said, but it was, don't forget your sword. And I always think of Archangel Michael with the sword, and he empowers us with our own sword so that we can cut away where we need to. We can decide, no, this attachment isn't good for me. This situation isn't good for me. I choose to cut away from it. I choose to set a healthy boundary. I choose to surround it in love and light, but I choose something different. So don't forget your sword. Your sword isn't to harm anyone. Your sword is to cut the ties that don't serve your spiritual path right now. So, let's say you have a holiday situation that brings you angst just thinking about it. Let's say you go into environments, family situations, and inevitably every year it brings up stress. People get ugly with each other. People get spiteful. Maybe people drink too much and get hateful, get mean, get who knows what. Maybe it's just when you go to those surroundings, you feel small because whatever you feel like whatever you do isn't living up to expectations. And you have to hear that or feel that. Maybe it's from the other person, maybe it's from you, maybe it's from a combination of both and the patterns that you've both built. Maybe it's even from that's the way it's in your DNA, that's how your ancestors have been, and they've had pain that's been suppressed for so long that it's coming up in you now because you're trying to heal. So it has no other way out. Been suppressed by so many for so long that it has no other way out except for those places in the hearts of the ones that are opening up. So you may feel it more intensely. You may be bearing it for everyone. The places they can't go, you may be trying to heal, but they don't want to. And so you go through the old patterns again. You know, ego. Our own ego is our own fear. Collective ego is the collective fear. And ego is not real. Only love is real. Love is God and love is real. Ego is all the doubts that we have, all the fears. It's our smallness, our feeling of smallness, our thoughts of smallness. So ego, in order to survive itself, has to keep us in that place of fear, doubt, low worth. It's when we release it that we're set free. So if you have situations that you know are going to trigger this smallness, what can you do? How can you react? What's the empowered way to say no? What's the empowered way to cut the cords, cut the unhealthy ties, and set a healthy boundary? Well, first off, I want you to stop and think about how you react. If you really, really don't want to participate in something over the holidays, let's say it's a big family gathering that always leaves you just sucked dry of energy, sucking the life out of you, leaves you irritated, pulls you back into some of those old hurts that you really tried hard to move away from. Well, you can say no to that too. Now, I want you to think about those things before they come up. You get the invitation, all the assumption that this is when we're all gathering, and you really, really have angst about it or don't want to go or dread it, or you feel like you're doing it out of obligation. I want you first to pause, take a breath. Hold it in your heart in love. And I want you actually to try to do this before it even comes up. Try to think through those things that you're dreading, that you roll your eyes about, that you can't stand, that you just go through, that you know is probably going to end up in in an argument or whatever, or just not feeling good. It's not going to make you go away lifted up. So take that to a place in your heart and feel love in every direction. Feel love toward the situation, toward the person, and feel love toward yourself. And declare to yourself, if I need to say no to this, it's okay. Because I'm not going to react in anger. I'm just going to decline. Or I'm just going to limit my involvement. Or you may decide, no, I'm going to be involved because I would like to heal this, or I would like, or I just don't have it in me to entirely say no. I can't quite do that. But I'm going to go there, and I'm going to step into that environment holding light. And when things irritate me, I'm going to find a place of light to respond or not respond. Sometimes not responding is a healthy boundary. Just not going to go there. And then I'm going to get out of here, and I'm going to not feel dragged down or battered. You can limit your time in that situation. You don't have to go to a whole bunch of things day after day. The whole day. Make a visit. Do it in kindness and love. If nothing else, if it's real hard for you to find some loving common ground, if you have a lot of people have a lot of baggage and history and pain. One, like I said, don't go there. But if you do, go there knowing that you're giving the gift to yourself, that you're going to walk away and feel good. And so you don't get pulled into whatever negativity there is around the situation. And when you go into it in that way, and you're really trying to just put love around it, let it go. When you let it go and let the battle go, the need to make it right, the need to be right, sometimes that's all that's needed. You know, you can't choose necessarily you can't choose the situation and your surroundings, and you can choose how you react to it. So practice now how you're going to react. Are you going to react in attack, defensiveness? You know, there's a difference in setting a boundary and being defensive in an attack standpoint. So you can decide. And I'd say practice. When you think about it beforehand, before you are in an energy that might be really difficult or loaded, practice. Practice what it's going to feel like to be there. Practice how you're going to transcend it. Practice pulling the light in. Have some little mantras in your head. I am good and I am worthy. Say it inside. You may want to do something like, take an angel coin to have in your pocket to hold. Or if you don't have an angel coin, just let it be a lucky penny. Just something to touch with and ground you and help you remember. Don't get sucked in. Don't get pulled into that drama that's going to suck the life out of you. That's going to suck away all your energy. And set your sights on that you're going to get through this season with love. And then you're going to emerge ready for a really bright 2015. That new year is going to be so much brighter. Because you're not going to let it set you back. So that gives you a plan ahead of time, an awareness ahead of time, how to deal with the tricky situations, how to deal with the financial part, to not let any of this take you under. Now we're going to take a little break. If anyone does want to call in for their personal reading, I tried to open the chat room. I couldn't do that in case people wanted to post in the chat room. I'm trying it again. For some reason, it seems locked up and it won't load. The guest call-in number is 347-633-9823. We're going to take a little break. I'm going to play some music from Calling All Angels, Jane Seabury and Katie Lang from the movie Pay It Forward, one of my favorites about angels. And just try to soak it in. When we come back, I've got a few more things to say. And then if we don't have any callers, I'm going to conclude this show. I said at the beginning that that I had a feeling this would be a short one, but the message is still good to get out there and for plate. So listen to the music. Go into your heart place. Imagine yourself how you're going to get emerge from the holidays and get through them feeling empowered and brighter, even if they bring up baggage for you. You're going to transcend that through this holiday season. So just feel yourself stronger, brighter. I'll be back in about 5 minutes, and I'll take any calls that come in and have a few more things for you, and then we'll be all be on our merry way for the day.
Calling all angels.
Lovely song, and we're back here. Before the show, I usually don't decide the topic of the show until the day of or maybe the night before, but lately I've had these show topics come up a little earlier, and I posted them in advance so that people could be aware of it. And so one of the things I've also been deeply involved in and putting my energy toward lately is more writing. And I wrote a book a few years ago about my spiritual awakening and some of the, you know, some of the tidbits about it and what I saw in those moments of just, you can call the void, just where everything from the world clears out and you're touching God and you see things completely differently. You see with this different kind of wisdom and understanding and love. Everything is love. And I was not in a near-death type experience. I call it my near-life experience because it's the most alive I've ever felt. I saw moments of my life pass before my eyes really quickly, just like lots of people have said has happened to them when they have been in a near-death kind of situation. And everything was perfect. And I just went through this blissful few weeks of being in that place of seeing completely differently, I think, seeing how God sees us. So I wrote about it in a book called Setting God Free, Awakening to Miracles. And it's about how we keep God restrained in shackles sometimes because we've made God small. We've made God in our image, tried to make God manlike and give God characteristics that our ego has, anger and retribution. And so this book was about beginning to turn our thinking to let God free, to be all that he, she, it is, the power of all that is in the world. So you may wish to read it. You may wish to read an excerpt. It's Setting God Free, Awakening to Miracles. It's available online on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. It's available in paperback, hardcover, and on Kindle if you're on Amazon. And when you go on Amazon, you can also read a bit of it and see if just the beginning resonates with you. You know, spirituality doesn't have to be anything lofty or confusing or excessively eloquent or flowery. And the real heart of it is quite simple. The book is written to speak to everyday people, and even I wanted it to be something that even a young person, say maybe 13, 14, could pick up and it could resonate with. So go to Amazon, read just a bit of it, and see if it resonates with you. The Kindle version is right now it's only 99 cents, and it that is going to disappear soon. The publisher that's being changed, I just don't know what day. Anyway, take a look at that. But what I've been working on is kind of a follow-up to that, to go a little deeper into some of the things that came to me then. And, I wrote so many little things down that, and at the same time, I could hear the voice saying to me, just write this down, you'll use it later, you'll know when it's time. And that's so many of those things, it's now, it's time, and I know it. And this last year, my fan page on Facebook that I told you about, Seeing Miracles Every Day, I remember last year at this time it was around, I was hoping, I saw in mid-December that it was approaching 40,000, and I thought, wow, that is amazing, because it was done really with just word of mouth and no advertising and no marketing help, no marketing budget. And in just the month of December, it went from approaching 40,000 to hitting 60,000 right before the new year. And that just blew me away. Well, now it's going to hit 360,000 probably before the end of this year. And all signs are pointing to it's time. It's time for this message. People are hungering for it. And so I've tried to go back into that space to clear the mechanism and clear the barriers as much as I can to bring forth the next level of the message. And so lately I've been spending a lot of time with Jesus and with angels, and there are actually two books trying to come through right now, which gets very confusing for me. I don't know which one to put my attention to. One minute it's this one minute it's the other, and then I'm thinking, I shouldn't put the attention. This one needs to be first. I have no clue which one's going to be finished first, and sometimes that's really tough because I can't seem to get on the right flow for one, and it shifts to another, but I'm trying to just let it happen. But one of the things the last couple days, and something that came to me in that sort of automatic writing this morning, is just surrounding what we can control and what we cannot, and how we can put our energy, even if it seems like it's small, in the direction of healing the world. And, you know, there's been so much conversation surrounding all the police happenings and the pain that that's bringing up. I talked earlier about the collective pain that's being brought up and the divisiveness. And the ego's biggest trick on all of us, whether it's collective or individual, is being divisive and keeping us in this battle, this anger, this struggle. So it applies to everything. And earlier in the first part of the show, we talked about holidays and how we keep the peace and we decide where, if we're going to get, you know, if we're going to rise above it to heal it and let it go, or are we going to stay in the drag me down battle and being against. And it can be hard to discern sometimes the steps, and we each have different roles too. Some may have a more activist kind of role, but somewhere within, even if you're being an activist, you have to ask yourself, is this ego acting, or is this love? Is this coming from love? And I believe that the only time it's coming from love is when it's sending love in all directions, truly being the healer. And so what came to me earlier this morning, and I'm writing away, and this was like a personal mantra being given of how to think and what thought to hold within as we look outside of us and see the chaos and the turmoil. It's, I can't control how you see me or how another sees me, but I can control how I see another or how I see you or how I see the world. We get peace when individuals decide to love one another, one at a time. The moment you decide it's all about them, or they're all wrong, or it's all their fault, whether it be political sides, religious wars, racial tensions, or your personal trials, that's the moment you've lost the real opportunity to heal and grow and be done with it. When I change how I see you and do so in love, it changes you. Maybe only on a tiny scale, but it opens a doorway to more in that direction. Now, there have been scientific studies that have shown how observing something and how we observe it changes it. You know, if you don't believe me, go Google some of that. there's the intention experiment is one that comes to mind, where, observing a leaf and even thinking of a leaf and making it glow from a distance. You know, just some remarkable studies. Also the work of Dr. Emoto, the effects of our thoughts and how we see something, the label we apply to something changes it on a cellular level. He did his experiments with water and how our intention put into the water changes the molecules, changes them. So when I see you, or I see a group of people a certain way, I have the power to contribute to a change for the good, or to just contribute to the ego and the destruction. Think about that. So, if you're wanting to change things, you have to be willing to send love in every direction and leave an opening to change how you feel. So many people enter these big discussions of our world, like I said, political, religious, your own personal trials, and you already have your mind made up. This is my side. This is my political party. This is my stance, and I'm not changing it, and I'm putting all my energy into proving that it's right. And there's very little left there saying, you know, I'm willing to try to understand why that person on that side of the argument feels that way. I'm truly willing. I'm willing to see that somewhere inside they have a reason for that, or maybe even something that needs to be healed, or maybe they're teaching me something. There's very little in some of these never-ending battles that we go through. There's very little of that willingness to truly step into the other side and feel it and see it and love it, and let it love back to us. But we can do that energetically. It's seeing it through God's eyes, and God doesn't say, that's right, that's wrong, that's right. That it doesn't just go through this list of, there's compassion in every direction, and there's a root to all these feelings. It gets distorted sometimes in every direction. Sometimes it's by opportunists. You know, in the political arena, sometimes it's just to get elected. Let's distort all of these topics to my own gain. And then all the frenzy of the people, that's my side. So yeah, yeah, rah, rah, rah. Am I really trying to solve anything? You have to ask yourself that. I'm going to back up and read that message again. The moment you decide it's all them, or they're all wrong. I'm talking about all wrong. Their thoughts are all wrong. There can't be any good in their thoughts. The moment you decide that, whether it be political sides, religious wars, racial tensions, your personal trials, that is the moment you've lost the real opportunity to heal and grow. So do you want to be part of the problem, or do you want to be part of the solution in the things that we face in this world? We've brought so much light in, and unfortunately the flip side of that is it brings all these things to the surface. So in some ways we can look at that and say that's a good thing. It is a good thing. It's bringing it to the surface, but what do we do with it now? Do we go back to the battles and the hatred and we just continue that and maybe even make it worse? Or do we decide that I will send love, I will have compassion, I will try to understand what I probably can't understand, but at least in my trying I'm showing compassion for my brother and my sister, for my world. Can you do that? When I change how I see you and do so in love, it changes you, maybe only on a tiny scale, but it opens a doorway to more in that direction. When you see someone else in love, you're planting a seed of love in them. It may be teeny tiny. Maybe that teeny tiny little mustard seed. But you are giving them potential to change. You're giving yourself potential to change. You've already chosen your own potential to change. Don't get tricked into the people that try to keep hatred and division. Don't get tricked into it, because so many times they're just serving their own power, or they're running from their own fears. They can't believe love enough. So right before the show, and I have this, and I have this feeling like this needs to come out, and I'm thinking, this is completely off the topic. And then I thought, no, just, or I heard, no, just say it anyway. Just say it for whoever's listening. Plant that seed of love in them. And so then I felt that, oh, I need to draw a card for this. And I have a few different decks of oracle cards. Oracle cards are really just a means for spirit to communicate with us, for God, angels, Jesus, whatever spirits, to get messages to us that are appropriate for us right now. So if you've never used oracle cards, I would encourage you to search for some. You know, you can do that online. There are all different ones. I have a couple of decks from, I have a few from Doreen Virtue. That's where I started out with them almost accidentally. I just liked the pretty angel images and bought a deck of her oracle cards way back years ago. And then ended up that they really helped me in my journey when I was really ready for a bigger awakening. And the particular deck I went to this morning, I just felt that was the one, was the Wisdom of Avalon. And these are by Colette Baron Reed, Baron-Reid. And so I shuffled and shuffled and shuffled and shuffled, and then I stopped. And I turned over the card at the spot. I sort of cut the deck and turned over the next card. Just felt completely guided there. And the card was Perception. It's card number 42 in the deck. So I went to her little book about perception, and as soon as I saw perception, yes, that's what all this is about. It's that paradox we're in, that we're in control of what we see and feel, and that changes other things. But if we get stuck in our fears, then we can't change it. We just contribute to the cycles. All right, so Perception, I'm going to read what she says. It's very short. This marker requires you to contemplate how you look at the world. Through what eyes do you see? Do you peer through those of prejudice or judgment? Are you viewing your present circumstances by projecting your past? This is the time to slow down, to observe from all angles. This calls for objectivity and a willingness to examine your life and others through a neutral pair of eyes. Within you, awareness is transcending your ego's separated sense of self. Rise above it. See through your soul and know that things aren't always what they appear to be. This marker brings clarity and asks you to look and to wait. Perhaps all you need to do is to relax and put on another pair of glasses. Then what is in front of you might be magically transformed. Perception is everything. Take no further action until you see how this message applies to your current situation. Then once you've shifted your perception, you may find that this was all that you needed to do. And boy, oh boy, is this message important in everything we're talking about today. How we view the holidays, how we approach them, being willing to see them differently and shift out of what they may have become that doesn't fit us very well right now. The perception in the world and how that tiny shift of being willing to see from the other angle with honesty or with earnestness. Not being willing to pretend to see from the other angle and then, oh yeah, I saw it, and no, I'm still all right. Everything I think is right. That's not really seeing from the other side, because when you see from the other angle, you know, the word angle and the word angel are very similar. When you see from the other angle, you're seeing from the eyes of angels. Angels are God's messengers. You're giving yourself a chance to get the message from an angel by changing your angle. So whether it's in your own little small world, everything that's close around you, or whether it's in current events in the world, underlying events in the world, be willing to be that bigger person that will see it from the other side. Even have dialogue, as if you're that other side trying to find a voice. What would you say? Touch it as best you can. Put words to it, even if you're just talking to yourself. Be willing to hear it instead of just blocking it out. It will change you. It will contribute a droplet of change to the situation. You may think you don't have any power. Your peace holds immense power. It holds even more than your outrage and anger. Your willingness to see it in love from all angles is the only truly empowered place. Where God sits. Sit there yourself. Ask for that vision. Ask to put on another pair of glasses. Ask to be able to be turned to see from that other vantage point. It will change how you see everything. Change you on the inside. Okay, so I hope these messages have been helpful to you, whether it's in your holiday journey right now or just your spiritual journey in general, or your ability to find peace in the world right now and be part of it. I'll give you a quick rundown. Again, my Facebook page is Seeing Miracles Every Day, A Course in Miracles. If you just go to Facebook and you type in Seeing Miracles Every Day, you'll come to the page. Please click like, and we'll keep moving on that growing journey of people that would like to see the world through different eyes. When we join together in that way, I think things as simple as clicking a like and being part of a page and choosing to let those kind of ideas and attitudes guide us in our daily journey. When we do that, we're all empowered. We have the power of 300,000 plus behind us when we do that, those kinds of things. When we choose to go that path instead of the path of anger and negativity, that's how we get stronger in the light. So go there, check it out. I'd love for you to join it, click on it, participate, be part of the discussion. You'd be surprised how sometimes just commenting like that and saying something that you feel is important and loving and good can inspire another person. So don't be afraid to do that. I have another page called angelstouchtherapy.com that talks about some energetic healing that I do. And I didn't say much about it in this show, but one of the books I'm working on has to do with energy healing called Angel's Touch that I've recently been exploring more deeply. It was one of those things where you'll know when it's time to put it out there, and I did in some online groups and classes that I did, and now I'm trying to find the best way to put that together to go out in sort of an ebook form or a form that more people can use at their own timing. So I'm working on that. You can learn a little bit more about energy healing in general, things like Reiki and the Angels Touch healing on that page, angelstouchtherapy.com. If you haven't heard of Reiki, most people have by now, but explore it or any of that energy kind of work. It's a great way to sort of reach a meditative state instantaneously when you practice and you get adept at that. My book is set Awakening to Miracles, and that's on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. If you have read Setting God Free, Awakening to Miracles, and I get a lot of emails from people and have all along, you know, that was another area where I didn't really have funds to promote it, or and my own life was giving me so many obstacles and struggles that I put it out there just for whoever could find it, if it would have meaning to them. And I have received so many emails about how much it's touched people. If you have read it and it's touched you and had meaning like that, it's triggered something, a spiritual awakening in you of sorts, please do be so kind as to go on Amazon and or Barnes & Noble. But Amazon, I think, lets you, whether you bought the book from them or not, you can leave a review. Please do rate it or leave a review that you think might be helpful to others or encourage them. Or if you think, if it has spoken to you in your journey, please do that. That would be great. And lastly, I'm reworking my other page, my main page, and it's been sort of a slow process with me and the web person, but getting that together, and there are going to be a whole lot more things that I can offer in a central location and more blog posts. And my old blog is seeingmiraclesevery.blogspot.com. Haven't written on that for a while, but there are quite a few older posts that I still get emails about. So all those things may help you, one, get through the holiday season feeling very inspired and light and filled with love and your purpose, and also just in general on your spiritual path, because that's what I'm here for, to help guide you on your best steps now in your spiritual journey. Thank you for tuning in, whether it's been live or if you're listening in the archives. I send love and light to all of you, and I hope you have a very blessed rest of the day and rest of the week. I'll conclude now with a little angel music, and we'll talk next time.